Haftarah Parshas Vayikra, which is not read every year because it usually comes out. Which is not read every year. It usually comes out Shabbos HaGadol or Parshas Parah, Shabbos HaGadol, any one of those Haftarahs. Not Yirmi, it's Yeshaya. What's Tzav? Oh, it's Yirmi, I'm sorry. So I prepared the wrong one. Okay, I'm sorry. I prepared the Haftarah Vayikra. Vayikra is Yeshaya, okay. So I prepared Vayikra, but it's a great Haftarah. You sure you don't want to hear about it? So you have to just tell me which parak it is, and I'll do it. Berg Zion, Pasik. Okay, we'll have to wing it, let's see. We'll learn it together. Oh, it's such a good line, Rav Schwab. Oh, wow. You're missing it, let me tell you. No, I can tell you. It's just amazing there. In the Haftarah Vayikra, it talks about the busha of the Averis of Klal Yisrael. And Rav Schwab, at the end of the Perek, it's not the end of the Torah, but the end of the Perek in Yeshaya reminisces about the early days of the Nazis in Germany. Yet before Kristallnacht, there was the boycott, that they boycotted the Jewish businesses, more than a boycott, they picketed and all. And he writes how the first day of their boycott of Jewish businesses was a Shabbos. Never occurred to the Germans that the Jews might have their businesses closed on Shabbos, because the Jews kept their businesses open on Shabbos in Germany. And he writes about how they davened at 6 o'clock in the morning and ran home because they were afraid to be in the streets. And what a busha was that the boycott the Jews started on a Shabbos when the Jews, kept open. The way he writes, the way it's written is really beautiful. Okay, so we're learning Yirmiyah. Perek Zayin Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Koyamar Hashem Tzavokis Elokei Yisrael. I don't know, my brain is slowly slipping away. So you have to know Yirmiyah, Yirmiyah is really two parts to the book of Yirmiyah, in a sense. It's interesting because the Bible critics famously divide Yeshaya into what they call the two Yeshayas. They divide it into the first part of the book, which is written in one style, and the second part, which is written in another style. That's the way it's been for decades. A few years ago, they started with the three Yeshaya theory, two wasn't enough. Yirmiyah, on the other hand, nobody ever said Yirmiyah was written by a number of different Nevi'im, because the grammatic style is consistently inaccurate. It's a very interesting thing about the book of Yirmiyah, that for some reason, the Lashon Rabbim, Lashon Yachid, male and female, are interchanged sort of haphazardly, often in Sefer Yirmiyah. It's unique among the books. Barbanel had gotten a lot of trouble in his introduction. He didn't get so much trouble because no one reads needs a Barbanel in Yirmiyah. But he was roundly criticized for a statement he makes right in the beginning of Yirmiyah. He actually writes that as an introduction. Yirmiyah started his Nevuah as a relatively young man. As a matter of fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to him and says to say Nevuah, he says, Nara Naichi, he says, I'm a little boy, Lo Yadati Daber, I don't know how to speak. Barbanel translates that as meaning, I never learned Digduk. I don't know how to speak because I never learned Digduk, so what do you want from me? I should be a Navi? And nevertheless, Hashem said, be a Navi. He says, that's why the Digduk is poor in the Sefer. So the Malbim, in his introduction to Yirmiyah, quotes the Abarbanel, and he says he went a little too far this time. Nevuah is the Dvar Hashem, and although the Navi can express it, it's given to Darshan. It's not, he doesn't make mistakes in it. And therefore, the Lashaynais are all with Cheshbonos, all with different Cheshbonos. Now, be that as it may, the first 20 Perakim of Yirmiyah are in the style of Yeshaya. They're written in the style of criticism without much that actually takes place in the Perakim. Starting from Parak Chaf, and increasingly as the Perakim go on, it's more in the style of Nevi'im Rishayim in the sense that things actually happen. Yirmiyah gets thrown into jail, Yirmiyah writes Echa, Yirmiyah does different things. So that, in a sense, the book of Yirmiyah is divided into two different books. And for that reason, here we're learning Perek Zayin. We're actually going to be learning a part of Yirmiyah, which is, I guess, a lot like Yeshaya, in that it's a criticism of Klal Yisrael. Kol Yamar Hashem Tzivok Yisrael Kei Yisrael. So says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oilei Seichem Safu, Oilei Seichem Sifu Al Zivchechem V'Ichlu Basar. Your oilois are added onto your karbanis as a means of eating meat. I didn't command Klal Yisrael on the day they left Mitzrayim to bring oilois and karbanis. Rather, I commanded them, listen to my command. Now, it's not true that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they weren't commanded to bring karbanis. They were. Karbanis didn't start, well, karbanis they did, but not oil of Zavach. But the idea is that the purpose of the oil of Zavach is not for the oil of Zavach. It's meant as a means of a person giving of himself to the Rabbi Nishalem. The carbon is supposed to represent something. On a Mizbeach, we offer, with every carbon, we offer Daimeim, Tzimeach, and Chai. Every carbon has the three types, three of the four types of creation. The Chai is the carbon, the Tzimeach is the Mincha, which accompanies it, and the Daimeim is the salt, which has to accompany every carbon. What's missing is the Medaber, is the person. So Chazal say that when you bring a carbon, you should see ki'ilu, you are nikrav on the Mizbeach, as if your blood was nikrav on the Mizbeach. What does it mean? It means if you were murdered. Why? I'm bringing a shlamim. No, it means each of these things is nisa'ala. When it's a carbon, it's brought up to a higher level of kedusha. Now, we don't offer human sacrifice.
So why couldn't they just daven when they were giving the carbon?
They could have just daven when they brought the carbon.
Wouldn't that have taken them medaber?
No, medaber is a noun. It doesn't mean that they should speak. Yeah, the Rambam divides all creation into inanimate things, things that grow, things that live and move around, and human beings that speak. Medaber is sort of a title for a person. It's not so much the speech, but the person. So that, the fact that a person should see himself born as a carbon is meant to be a hiskarvis to the Rabbi Nishalot. So that the carbon only comes after the Shimu B'Kaili, after you listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you don't listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then there's no reason for a carbon. So here, again, I'm not quoting the Bible critics to give them legitimacy, but to point out, they divide Yiddishkeit in their apikorsis, but I want to just show what you see from the Navi. They're what they call prophetic Judaism and biblical Judaism. Biblical Judaism, in the eyes of these apikorsim, biblical Judaism is busy with all of the rites, R-I-T-E-S, all the rites, all the formalities, all the mitzvahs of Yiddishkeit. And they see prophetic Judaism, what they call the Judaism of the prophets, as being more concerned with humanity, with being good. The Nevi'im are not so busy with saying Kriya Shema, or putting on tefillin, or all these things. So, you know, the Rambam writes in the Pirush Mishnayis that you're not going to find the mitzvah of tefillin in Mishnayis, only indirectly. It doesn't say anywhere in Mishnayis you're supposed to put on tefillin every day. So the Rambam writes in his Pirush Mishnayis, I think in Menachis, that there's a reason for that, because everyone puts on tefillin every day. You don't have to sit down and learn putting on Mishnayis. Mishnayis doesn't, you know, you imagine that? There's no Mishnah that says put on tefillin. It's just agav. There's no Mishnah that says, light Neiros Chanukah. No Mishnah that says light Neiros Chanukah. It's mentioned agav. It's mentioned in 9 places of Mishnayis, but every place incidentally. You know, it's an incidental statement. It talks about the fire that started when a menorah burns. But it's always incidental. So,
why is it mentioned
Kriya Shema? Kriya Shema is mentioned for the certain halachas of Kriya Shema, which I mentioned. You mean it shouldn't say anything at all?
Yeah.
No, it mentions those things which were disputed, for the most part. Mishnayis is not all, but mostly a record of disputes about certain points of law. And since there's a machlaikis, memesite, that's a memesite karan shema, what's his man? It's a machlaikis. So you have to record the machlaikis. You know, saying Yiddishkeit, everything's a machlaikis. Tefillin, at least in the time of the Mishnah, wasn't a machlaikis, you know. So a few machlaikis came by later. For the most part, Jews all wear the same looking tefillin, certainly on the outside. So so the idea that I'm making is, the point that I'm making is that you don't have to mention the obvious. So prophetic Judaism is supposedly not interested in karbanis. We say this in many of the haftiris. Bibikir says, "Mietchem Rames Chatzerai." Who wants you to visit? We understand the kavana to be that the carbon in and of itself is not important. The carbon is meant to be an exhibition of a person's commitment to Dvar Hashem. So if you're committed to Dvar Hashem and you bring a carbon, so that's fine. But if you're not committed to Dvar Hashem, so what's the lip service of bringing a carbon? It's totally meaningless.
Actually, it's interesting that if you go to the shrine of the book in Eretz Yisrael, they have pairs of tefillin from way back when that have different parshios than we have today. They actually have different parshios.
It's difficult to believe. I don't know what to say. It's difficult to believe. I don't know why, what, and where.
The Rambam brings this pasuk, ki lo yidivarti avasechem, bar karbonis, in Merneh.
He brings it in Merneh Nevuchim. Yeah, the Rambam, Merneh Nevuchim, has his shita, which is that God is not interested in karbonos. The only reason that karbonos are brought is to take away the yetzahara for avodah zarah. Now it's hard for us to understand why anybody would have a yetzahara to take a perfectly good animal and slaughter it and offer it up as a sacrifice. But apparently, when the yetzahara for avodah zarah existed, there was such a yetzahara. Akedei kach, and the Tziv writes, we find in Navi that even the greatest malachim were not able to rid Klal Yisrael of the bamais. Once the Beis Hamikdash was built, you weren't allowed to offer backyard karbanos, but people did. The Tziv says because there was a strong belief that influenced Parnassa. It was a school for Parnassa. So in a way, okay, but if it's a school for Parnassa, you know, people are willing to try it. So that's what you're mentioning, the lack of.
I think Kayan would have trouble with that.
Oh, that's the Ramban's kasha from Kayan. The Ramban, in the beginning of Vayikra, the Ramban in the third pasuk, I think, of Vayikra, he asked from. But he brought a carbon. And Nayach, he mentions Nayach because it says Reach Nichayach. And how could there be a Reach Nichayach what is Reach Nichayach? Back to the Pesukim. Pasuk, just this last Pasuk. Ki imes adavar hazet tzivisi oisam leimar. Shimu v'kaili. Here. V'yisi lachem leiloikim. V'atem tiyu li la'am. There's a... throughout Navi, there's a nuance of difference between the words of Hashem to Klal Yisrael and the words of Klal Yisrael to Hashem as to who goes first. As to who goes first, we mentioned this when we learned Eicha, because it's in the end of Eicha, but there's a difference, sort of like when a young man and a young lady are dating, and they're at that point where he's trying to figure out where she's holding, and she's trying to figure out where he's holding. So it's the nature of a woman, certainly, that until she knows the man is committed to her, she's not ready to let go. Men are supposed to be more braver than that, you know, the masculine nature is supposed to be derech ish lirda facharisha, but I think today there's been a regression, and I find that the young men also, you know, they would never propose if they don't find out from the shatan that she's going to say yes. So, you know, I mentioned to them sometimes that, you know, when I proposed, I did not know what she was going to say, and I was afraid to tell my parents I planned to propose because I didn't want to look bad. So I found out later that the night before, my shver asked my wife, if he proposes tomorrow, what are you going to do? And she said, I'm going to say no. I'm not sure this is for me. So I found about this much later. So I asked her, so why'd you say yes? So she said, well, you just asked so nicely. There's really a big mussar in that. You know, my wife is an intelligent person, but but you know, with the risk of being on tape, you know, the style matters. It does matter. It does. You know, how you ask, how you say things, it does count in real relationships. It's not just all substance, no style. There's style too.
And having the shotgun do it instead of the way we did it years ago, I think.
Yeah, well, there's a certain fear. Anyway, I'm digressing. V'yisi lechem le'elokim is, the deal is like this. It's God says to the Jewish people, you go first. You take me as your God, and then you'll be my people. In other words, I want Klal Yisrael to go first. And Klal Yisrael says, no, we want the other way around. That we want that you step up to us, and then we'll step up to you. And we find this throughout Navi in numerous places, sort of this exchange. Now, in Zayar Lashon, it's called Isarusa de la Eila and Isarusa de la Sata. Isarusa de la Eila means that God takes the first step, and Isarusa de la Sata means that the Jewish people take the first step. The reasons for the two parts are very much more difficult to go first. So Klal Yisrael says, God, you go first. So we won't be so great. We'll have a smaller level of greatness. We're only going to be responding to your coming to us, so to speak. But at least the Gula will come. And Rabbi Yisrael says, no, I'm not settling for second best. I want you to get 100. I want you to do the best so you'll be in Golus longer. It's worth it if first you recognize me. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. We say to Rabbi Nishalaylam, God, you go first. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha. First, you bring us close v'nashuva, and then we're ready. And the Ram says, no. Shuva Elai v'shuva Elechem. You go first, and I'll go second. So that's the Avtar of Atem Tiyu Lilam. V'alachtem v'chol aderech asher tzav v'eschem l'man yitav lachem. Now, if I recall correctly, the Avtar of Tzav jumps around a little bit. So if I... What, at the end, okay. V'loi shamu v'loi hitu es aznam. Klai Yisrael did not pay attention. They did not turn their ears. V'yelchu b'may etzais b'shrivus libam hara. And they went on their own ideas, their own thoughts. B'shrivus libam hara. In the direction that the heart brings a person, the heart as opposed to the mind. V'yiu la'achar v'loi lefanim. And therefore they become people who are in back rather than those who are in front. They become people who are behind the other nations of the world rather than leaders. And Klal Yisrael is meant to lead the world. It's been so from the day that you left Eretz Mitzrayim till today. So here, the Rabbi Yisrael complains that I set Nevi'im, and Hashkeim, they get up early, Vashalayach, and they come repeatedly, and the fact that Klal Yisrael did not pay heed to the Nevi'im. Now, this is most true about Yirmiyah of all the Nevi'im. Of all the Nevi'im, Yirmiyah was the most abused. The Gemara says that Yeshaya is Nechemta, and Yirmiyah is Paranusa. The truth is, there are at least seven. When I learn Yirmiyah, I count the seven parakim that are nevuas of Mashiach coming in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah has Nechemta as well. But the gist of it is Paranusa because of this. Because of the Hashkein v'Shalayach. Yirmiyah is Navi for 40 years. And for the most part, it's a very disappointing run. The people don't hold him in high esteem, and they oppress him even in the very beginning. When the Melech was a good king, was Yeshua Melech, he has this expression throughout the book of Hashkem v'Shalayach Oisi, that I get up early, I come, I speak, and I don't get anywhere. V'lai shomu elai, they didn't listen to me. They stiffened their necks. And were even worse than their forefathers. All right, so Mitzvah, I guess we'll continue with this tomorrow night. Today and tomorrow, Mitzvah.
Is there any significance to the below?
with the vav.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The all the valos are to be darshaned. The valo that's a vav and an aleph is darshaned when somebody doesn't do something for selfish reasons. Valo, they didn't, but lo, because they had lo, he had his own interest at heart. That's the tradition. Valo, Shom. It means they didn't listen to me, but the hint is they didn't listen to me because they were selfish. Valo, not because they had a problem with the philosophy of listening to a Navi, because of their own selfish reasons.